This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in this series entitled Having the Will to Win. Having the Will to Win. It is about having a faith, having a confidence, having a conviction that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that I am in it to win it. That the fight is not over until I win. If you see me in a fight with a bear, help the bear because he's going down, right? Like I have this fight on the inside of me, right? And so we've been talking about a lot of faith principles that come along with it. And in the past 2 weeks, we flipped over and I said, when you're in any time, challenging time, good time, no matter what time you're in life, it's important that you know how to hear from God. And so we've been talking about hearing and obeying the voice of God. At the end of last week's service, we talked about the importance of cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And it was just amazing at both services. People just right there where they sat, just received the Holy Spirit. And so it was just an amazing thing. And so this week, what I want to do is I want to teach you a lesson in closing on Holy Spirit. Normally, I would have taught this lesson first, then I would have taught another lesson on Holy Spirit, and then I would have taught you about being filled with the Spirit. But how many know His ways are not our ways, and neither are His thoughts ours? So God's way is always the best way, all right? And so so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Holy Spirit on today. And so we're going to be discussing John 14, 15, and 16, and this is where Jesus introduces the person of the Holy Spirit. In John 13, you'll notice that's when he's probably washing their feet, which shows his humanity and his humility. And then in John 17 is when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And so John 14 through 16, he is having a conversation with the disciples at the Last Supper. If you remember scriptures like where he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So it's right around that time. And so I'm going to read a little bit out of 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to grab some things, and then we're going to jump into our points and put them all together. It's going to be a good ride. Are you guys ready to do it? All right, here we go. John, the 14th chapter, I'm going to read starting at verse 16 and 17, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 25 and 26. And so I want you to pay close attention because I'm going to have you repeat some words after me, with me. So don't let anybody be asking you where you're going to eat after service. Amen? All right. Yeah. It says, and I will pray or ask, that's what that is, the Father, and he will give you another what class? Helper. In the KJV, it's comforter. We're going to talk about that later. That he may abide with you how often? Forever. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is going to abide with us forever. And so the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Well, reproof is the dismantling of erroneous thinking. And there's erroneous thinking that there's some people that will tell you that the Holy Spirit is not for today. Well, Jesus told us that he's going to be with us forever. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is for today. I'll keep going. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, of whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now let's drop down to verse 25. He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you not some things, but what class? All things, and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. All right, so now let's go to John 15 and 26. We were in John 14, now let's go to 15, all right? 15 and 26, he says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. All right? Notice how Jesus keeps emphasizing that he's going to help us. Let's go to John 16 and 7. So now we're in chapter 16. And of course, the translator added all the chapters and verses and that kind of thing. But you have to understand this was one big conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, how many know Jesus can't lie? Not that he will not lie. He cannot lie. All right? He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you, all right? So we're going to read verses 8 and 11 of John 16 a little bit later, okay? Because I want to kind of change that up. So let's stay in John 16. So let's just go to verse 12. We'll read verses 8 through 11 a little bit later. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You have to understand that the disciples did not really want Jesus to go and die and shed his blood. They wanted him to establish his kingdom right there. See, they were thinking about them. He was thinking about all of us. You got it? And so Jesus was realizing, I mean, you know, Jesus is telling, you know, Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to happen. You know, you got Peter, be it far from me. And though Jesus had to rebuke Peter because, like, Peter, listen, you can't mess with God's plan, right? He says in verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So we see in almost every scripture that I just share with you, we see the word helper. The word helper can be translated as comforter. It could be translated as consoler. It could be translated as intercessor. It could be translated as advocate when you do your word searches and those kind of things. But the word is really helper. And in the Greek, the word helper is parakletos. All right, para just means alongside. Kletos means to walk. And so Jesus says, I'm going to send somebody to walk alongside of you. And not only is he going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to comfort you. He'll even correct you when you need it. Like, he's going to do everything he needs to do. Does that make sense? And it's important to understand that. Kind of like when you hear the word parable. You know, we kind of know what a parable is, but, you know, that the whole word para, it, same thing, alongside. Bole means to throw. So a parable is when Jesus throws a story alongside of a truth to help us understand. And so he's our helper. He's our helper. The KJV translated every time as comforter. Everybody say comforter. All right, comforter, I don't know how it works in your house, but I'm just going to tell you how it works in my house. In my house, in my bedroom, we have a comforter on the bed, but when it's time to go to bed, I'm not allowed to sleep in under that comforter. It's a big, fluffy comforter, you got it? And if you came to the marriage retreat, now you have one of those pillows with your name, you got it, that you can add to it, you got it? If you're at the marriage retreat, you know what I'm talking about. And so we pull it back, and it's big, and, you know, we fold it up, and we have to go and put it somewhere, and we take another comforter, and we put on that comforter, yeah, on the bed, and we sleep with that one. Because years ago, lady trained me, you got it? That comforter on the bed, you got it, is not for use, but it's only for looks. Children of God, there's a lot of things I have in my house that are not for use, but for looks. You got it? There are some couches in my house that I can't sit on unless you come to my house, and then I'm allowed to sit on them. But other than that, they are not for use, but they are for looks. Do you not know that there are some towels at my house that if you came as a guest, you could use them, but I cannot use them? But let me take it a little bit further. There are some towels in the house that are on the bar where normal towels would go, but we have decorative towels that stay right next to the shower's here, the bar is right there, you know, but those towels I am not allowed to use. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, as lady was training me, I'm trained now, you got it, but as she was training me, you got it, you know, I'm in the shower, you know, I'm about to get out of the shower, I see a towel, I grab the towel, you got it. Lady figures out that what she's coming by or whatever, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what's going on? And then ladies, wives, y'all have just a way of saying things. Y'all follow up, what are you doing? Like, what were you thinking? You're like, I don't know. I was naked, I was wet, there was a towel, I don't know. So there's a lot of things, you got it, that are, watch this, for not for use, but for looks. But make sure when it comes to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that you're not using him, watch this, just for looks, but for use, because he wants to lead you and guide you and help you and comfort you. Isn't that good? All right. All right, so three things to remember. Everybody say point number one. Point number one, and I've talked about this, and so it's going to be real easy to do this point. He's my helper. I've already explained it in the Greek. I've just given you a good illustration, so we kind of already know where we're going. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is better for me to leave and the Holy Spirit to come. Even though the disciples didn't like that, it was actually better to have Jesus in heaven and Holy Spirit here. If Jesus was here today, he could only be in one geographical location at a time in the flesh, but the Holy Spirit is everywhere, and he resides in the believer. So watch this, class. If you need a word from God, you watch this. You don't have to go far because he's right there on the inside of you. All you got to do is just start talking to him, and he'll give you the instructions, the answers, and the encouragement that you need. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you just got to start talking to him. You got to start talking to him. The scripture also gives us descriptions of what the Holy Spirit does. You got it. And I've giving you some, how he will comfort us, he will instruct us, and those kind of things. One thing I learned is that he will tell us what to say. Have you ever, someone asked you to pray for him, and maybe you were a little timid about praying, you got it? But you decided, I'm going to pray, and as you prayed, like, all the right words seemed to come out, right? Because the Holy Spirit is going to help you, you got it? Even in something like that, he will tell you what to say, you got it? I've also learned in my walk with God that the Holy Spirit will tell you what not to say. So just like he'll tell you what to say, he'll tell you what not to say. Let's just say I'm leaving church and, the plan was for Lady to cook. And then I come up in the house and I don't smell no cooking. And if I'm not careful, I'm hungry. And you know what happens when you're hungry. You want to know, why don't I smell any food? You got it? And so I could be walking around and I don't smell any food. And I'm about to say, well, I need to go talk to Bae, because I need to see why Bae didn't cook, right? And so I'm going to let her know she needs to cook. And the Holy Spirit says, I wouldn't say that if I was you. Holy Spirit says, if I was you, I'd take her out to eat. That's what I would do if I was you. So the Holy Spirit tells us what to say and what not to say, and that's a good place to give the Lord a hand of praise. All right, John the 16th chapter and the 8th verse. I want to show this scripture to you because this has been taught wrong for so many years, not by everybody, but by a certain group to make us feel condemned as Christians. And the problem with that is the writer teaches us that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So John 16 and 8 says, and when he has come, he will convict. Let me give you another word for convict, convince. He will convict or convince the world of sin and of righteousness, and of judgment. He says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So the only reason the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin is because we don't believe, and he's trying to convince us that God's way is the best way. He's not trying to beat us upside the head. He's not trying to put any fear tactics on us. He's trying to convince us that God's way is the best way, and that's the job and the role of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 3 teaches us that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, watch this, but by the Holy Ghost. So it is the Holy Spirit who convinces us to get things right. It is the Holy Spirit who brings us to Christ. And watch this. It is the Holy Spirit that knocks on the door of our heart so we can get saved. Does that make sense? Yeah. And how many know you don't have to be in church to get saved? Isn't that right? You got it. Yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to die in a funeral home. I mean, it would be convenient, but that's not going to happen, right? That was a joke. Everybody's supposed to laugh. Okay. It was just a joke because he's going to satisfy every one of you with long life and show you his salvation. Isn't that right? So that was just a joke. All right. But it proves a point. You got it. Because you don't have to be in church to get saved. You could be talking to your coworker, going through something, and you pray for him, say, I don't know if you've ever accepted Jesus into your heart. And just, you don't have to be all eloquent in speech or anything like that. Just tell them what God has done for you. And say, hey, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, all you got to do is just pray this prayer with me. We pray it every single Sunday. Even if you don't realize it, you probably already know every word on the inside of your heart. You got it? And so, your neighbor in the driveway or in the yard, you can introduce them to Jesus and get them saved right there. So you don't have to go to church to get saved. All right? Now let's keep reading it. We'll pick up at verse 10. He says a righteousness. Now, when we understand the word righteousness, this is a position of being righteous before God. But it is not our righteousness. It is his righteousness because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. All right. And so we're righteous because of him. All right. And you have to receive that righteousness and watch this and be bold in that righteousness, even though it's not yours and it's his. He put it on you. And so you're supposed to walk in it with your head up high. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. But Pastor, I've made mistakes. What did I say? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So when you make mistakes, 1 John 1:9 says he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So I got to calm down. So, slow down. So when you make a mistake, when you fall short, you repent, you admit it, you quit it, you get back on the right road, but you are still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are still a son and a daughter. Does that make sense? He says, righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Now let's watch this judgment part. Of judgment because the ruler of this world, who is Satan, is judged. So Jesus went back to the Father to make a connection for all eternity so we could have a relationship with him. All right. And so the way, you know, and I'm not knocking, you know, denominations. Y'all know I ain't even that kind of guy. But coming up, you know, I've learned that some people teach this certain ways. And if you're not careful, you'll take the scripture and you'll see it the wrong way. If you're not careful, when he talked about sin, righteousness and judgment, you'll see it as I'm a bad person. I'm not living right. And God's going to get me. And that is, you can go, I don't care if you go to the Greek, the Hebrew or the Shebrew. That ain't right. You got it? The way God designed this scripture is, I need a savior, and once I'm saved, I'm righteous in his sight, and now Satan has no power or dominion over me. That is exactly how God wants you to see that scripture, and that's how he wants you to walk in it. Does that make sense? All right, so amen. Everybody say number two. Number two. Okay, so let's go back to number one. Number one, we said he's my helper, and then number two, he's my friend. Number two, you are a friend of God, all right? And he's your friend, and Holy Spirit's not crazy. You got it. Sometimes people can act a little crazy, and I'm not being mean when I say that, you know, or he's not wild. Sometimes people might act a little wild, but he's not wild. You got it, you know, and he's not spooky. That's a trick from the enemy to make you think the Holy Spirit is spooky so you won't cultivate a relationship with him. You got it? You know, so, I'm trying to be careful here. A lot of people think Holy Spirit is spooky because they've seen spooky people. But can I tell you something about spooky people? They'd be spooky without the Holy Spirit. You got it? So they just, you got it. And so you have to make sure that you get over that, you know, and that when you receive Holy Spirit, got it, you receive, you know, that heavenly prayer language that you might see somebody and they might be exuberant. And there's nothing wrong with that at all, but that doesn't mean you have to be that way. They might jump up and run down the aisle because they're so excited, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't mean that that's what you have to do. It's not what the Holy Spirit puts on you. That's just their response to Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So listen, when we're having praise and worship, some of us, I can feel him moving on the inside. Some of y'all would never do that, right? Some of y'all are like, man, I'm going to stand right here. I can feel him moving on the inside. You got it? You got it? And some are like, you know, I ain't even doing that. That's okay. Everybody's response is different. So this is what you got to understand. This is what Lady LaConte and I prayed this morning. It's what we pray every Sunday. It's not about what you do, but it's about if you get on the inside, there's going to be an anointing in this room that is going to meet you at the point of your need and remove every burden and destroy every yoke by the power of God. Does that make sense? So if I'm doing this, or if I'm doing this, or if I'm doing that, you're going to feel God's presence, and it's going to make the difference in your life. This young man is teaching up in here. All right, and there should be some evidence that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You got it. There's got to be things. Acts 1:8 that says that I should have power, that you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And he's talking about a boldness. You got it. You know, to be a witness for Jesus. He's talking about having a confidence because I know the word is true and I'm going to walk in this truth. You understand what I'm saying? Another evidence should be love. You got it. Another evidence should be love. I remember when I was getting ordained in Church of God in Christ, and you got to go stand before, you know, this board of elders, and they ask you all these questions, and you got to know all these scriptures and stuff, you know, and so, and then you have to know the history of Church of God in Christ, and, you know, all the way back to our presiding bishop from the beginning, and, you know, and just all kinds of stuff. And so so they asked a question, one of the questions they asked that one. I said, okay, I got it. They asked that one, I said, okay, I got it. Explain this. Okay, I explain it. And then they said, what is the love chapter? I said, oh, that's easy. 1 Corinthians 13, they finally asked me an easy question, right? So 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is the love chapter, all right? If the Holy Spirit is really in operation in our lives, we should be walking in love. You got it? 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the use of the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit. And right smack dab in the middle, you got it, is 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about love. And Paul says you can have all the gifts, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. You can speak in tongues, prophesy, word of knowledge, all those things. But if you are not walking in love, if you're not walking in humility, if you're walking around thinking you're somebody because you got the gift, you got it, you know, then you have to understand it was never yours in the first place. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so love is one. And then there are the fruits of the Spirit. There's joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. The Bible says against such there is no law. Nobody can come against you if you operate in those fruits, right? And how many know that we need to consistently make sure that those fruits are in operation in our lives, right? You know, how many know that there are probably times where we could be more gentle than we are in certain situations? I know there's sometimes, me personally, there's situations that go on, you know, and I get a little heated, you got it? And lady has to calm me down, right? You know, and then looking back at it, Holy Spirit says, yeah, you know, you could have been a little bit calmer. You could have been a little bit more gentle. And so it's not that we're going to be perfect, but if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he'll come back around and tell you, okay, son, you know, next time, don't do it like that, but do it like that. Does that make sense? Because he's always there leading us and helping us and guiding us. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Amen. Amen. And we kind of already talked about some of the gifts, but of course, evidence of speaking in tongues and then other gifts of the Spirit are also evidences. But I'm here to tell you that I think more than anything, if you can walk in love and walk in humility and then have those other gifts, that's the best way to go. You got it. I operate in different gifts, and from times you'll see me on stage do that, whether it's a word of prophecy, word of knowledge, or those kind of things. But my thing is this: that's all God. Like, that is not me. I would never in my life think that I'm somebody because I'm doing that. In the early days, even though I had been taught, you know, coming up under my father in his ministry, you know, he's got a healing ministry and operates in, it seemed like my dad operated in every gift. You got it? Like the Bible says, covet the best gifts. My dad operates in all of them, you know. But even then, it's like I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to do it wrong. You got it. And that's how you have to be, whether it's the gifts, you got it, or anything, that anytime I present Jesus to anybody, I have to present Jesus the right way. Does that make sense? It's so, so very, very important. All right. And so if the Holy Spirit is an operation in my life, there should be something flowing in my life. There should be some gifts. There should be some fruits. There should be some power. There should be some confidence. There should be some boldness. There should be something in my life. Can I get a amen? All right. So let's recap point number one. Let's put it up on the screen. What is it, class? All right. Point number two. He's my friend. And then number three, he's my God. He's my God. And that can be hard for a lot of people to say because they see him as a force and not a person. You got it? And the Holy Spirit is not a force. He's a person. All right. The Holy Spirit is his descriptive name. It describes his function in the Trinity. You know, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says the three are one. So that's just his descriptive name. Maybe you never realized, but Jesus has descriptive names. You ever heard King of Kings? Prince of Peace? Descriptive name. Maybe you didn't know that the Father has descriptive names. Have you ever heard of Jehovah Jireh? That's the Father's descriptive name. Jehovah Shalom. That's the Father's descriptive name. Jehovah Gamola, the God of recompense, that is the Father's descriptive name. And so it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he's not a force, he's a person. He's the third person in the Trinity, and he is God. Now, let me show you John 14 and 16. I'm going to give you some proof text here before we get out of here because I want to make sure that I show this to you. I'm going to show you some scriptures with the Trinity in one verse, all right? And then I'm going to show you a scripture where the Trinity is all in one location at one time, all right? All right, here we go, John 14 and 16. And I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. So we see it there. Now, if you drop down to verse 26 of John 14, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I, Jesus, said to you. So we see the Trinity there. If you go to John 15 and 26, but the helper, Holy Spirit, comes whom I, Jesus, shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, in Luke, the third chapter and the 22nd verse, we see that the Trinity, the Godhead, is all in one location. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. This was Jesus. You got it? The picture of Jesus, John the Baptist, baptizing Jesus. This is that moment. And so Holy Spirit's there, Jesus there, and then a voice, it's the Father, which came from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All in one location. Matthew 28 was one of our foundational scriptures because that's what we're supposed to be we're not supposed to be. Every church is supposed to be a Great Commission church. We are a Great Commission church. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right. Here's one where Peter, man, he just puts the nail in the head. Acts 5 and 3. This is Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land and they decided they were going to give, you know, some money to the church. And they lied about how much they gave. And they didn't have to lie because it was their money. They could give whatever they wanted to give. Right. Because it's free will. Right. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, he says, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your control? He says, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Watch what he says. This is big. You have not lied to men, but you've lied to God. And so there you see that he is part of the Godhead. He is God. Let's go home, Maestro number one. She's back. Amen. So Jesus says, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm going to send you another comforter. Not only is he going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. And he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to strengthen you. So in the tough times when you feel like you're alone, you're not alone because he's right there. In the moment when you don't know what to say, you really do. If you just go to him, he'll tell you what to say. In the moment when you need instructions, when you need directions, you got it, and you don't know what to do, just go to him and he'll help you. So we have to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit where he's helping us day in and day out. I want to pray for you on today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, I thank you for those that are under the sound of my voice. Whether they're in this room or whether they're online, you know them name by name and situation by situation. So it is with great confidence that I know that you will meet them at the point of their need. Father, there are those in the room that are believing for healing, and we stand in agreement with them for healing, Lord. Father, there are those in the room that need favor and increase to show up in their lives, and we stand in agreement for favor and increase. There's somebody that needs a door open and a way made. There's somebody that needs the storm to be still in their life. There's somebody that just needs peace, Lord, and we agree with them for those things in Jesus' name. Bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to come against him and attack them. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that it guards their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I declare they don't have to worry. They don't have to be in anxiety. They don't have to have stress because you are opening every door and making every way for them. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in their lives. We thank you that even on this week, they're going to see your hand at work in their lives to the degree that they'll know that, man, the only way this happened is because it was God. And so we give you praise for miracles. We give you praise for favor. We give you praise for open doors. We give you praise for victorious reversals taking place in their lives. Good reports showing up. Healing taking place in families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, and we count it done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?